catch me, daddy. Ooh.
That's a great start.
Yeah. I'm a big Therefore, fan. This will be a great podcast.
Cheaters, guys. What do you think of them?
I think that they won the cup. I think that they're the best.
Oh, that was a good transition from where he was wanting to go to where we should be going.
How you guys feel about cheating?
I think if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning found a way to both cheat and win.
It's fine. It evened out. They fucked up their cup.
Yeah, I was about to say, they cheated to get that cup, and then they fucking broke it within a day. Fucking
the
jackasses.
The cup had an upper body injury and was out 4 to 6 days. They recovered it.
Yep, exactly. So, welcome in to another episode of Grit, a hockey podcast.
Very timely.
Very timely. My name is Dakota. So, before I get to introducing these homies here, I want to talk about an unfortunate incident, an unfortunate bit of news in relation to a subject that we brought up on our last episode. It really hurts me to say this deep down to my soul, but after some investigation, it turns out that Sword Girls is defunct. We cannot bring you Sword Girls content. It's very sad.
I was so confused where this was going.
It has been long enough that I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
It was a card game.
I know what he's talking about.
It was a card game. I remember it.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he went through the long list of card games, and apparently it doesn't exist anymore. In fact, we looked it up right after we finished the episode and didn't make an edit.
Yeah,
that's our
fault.
The fact that you kept that in your RAM for this long is impressive.
Exactly.
It's much more volatile than that.
Yep. So I am joined by some friends here, as you've probably heard. One of those friends is Jake.
All right. See you next time, guys.
That's
right.
Animated
sleep. No, you've really fucked me up with that one, buddy. Why are you talking when I'm doing it?
I'm sorry. I just like the joke now.
Jake, say
Do
stuff
it.
So that they know who you are.
Just leveled up to level 41 in Pokemon Go, and now I have 7.5 million EXP to the next level, and it's really stressing me out. Let's podcast.
Exactly. We also have Dylan.
Hello, I'm here and talking when I'm summoned.
We've also got Devin.
Hello.
And finally, we have Indy.
Hello, I am also talking when summoned.
Your guys' banter game is fucking really taking a step back.
So
after a month
of
not
doing
anything.
That's
Jesus
right. We need
Christ.
To bag skate you after the pod, Jesus. Woof.
Okay, listen, you be whistle guy, and I'll be the guy yelling again. And
I really don't want
to
go back to re-education.
You guys were up 2 games in the playoffs and lost it, dude.
What do you mean? We were up 3 and then got reverse swept. Fuck you, mean. That's how bad our banter is now.
Yikes.
You guys are the Toronto Maple Leafs of banter engaging inners.
As long as
no,
I'm
that means we would have had
bench.
No. The thing is, we at least had decent banter, so now we're just Chicago.
Oh damn. No, I don't want to be Chicago. Come on now.
You definitely don't want to be Chicago now with the Sanchez contract.
Well, and also all the other shit going on with Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I was letting that one go.
Yep. So listen, this is our first off-season episode. A lot happened, like not enough happened, and then a lot happened, and then we expected more to happen, and then it did.
A lot of stuff was like edging, like it was almost happening, and it just like, you know, didn't quite come out yet.
Mm-hmm. And then it all came out at once and got everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, not everything. There's a lot of stuff that still sure is
up in the air.
You know,
yeah,
being teased, but you know, a little bit of like of pre-cum came out as, I guess, what I'm going to say about that.
I guess so. So anyways, we decided that now is the time that we want to talk to you about some hockey, right? So like Jake said, we're not going to talk about the Chicago stuff. I do want to acknowledge that it is happening. There are more allegations and lawsuits and stuff coming forward. Once again, we are not the place to discuss that. We are so far from that situation, and any sort of opinion that we would have on that situation outside of if they did it, then fuck them, is largely irrelevant. So,
but I will say, I feel negatively towards the people who were running the Chicago organization 10 years ago that are, you know, largely still in the league in other places.
Sure. Yeah.
Fuck a bunch of those people.
So since the last time we did a podcast, we mentioned it already, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they won the Stanley Cup. They partied hard. They ruined the cup. The cup got fixed. Nikita Kucherov embraced his role as a villain, an absolute fucking monster, signing all of his autographs. Nikita Kucherov, $18 million over the cap. It's good shit.
Wait, did he actually do that?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. You know what? Fuck it. Fuck it. You know what? He's my favorite guy now.
That is my level of shit giving, to be fair. That is absolutely my level of leaning into it.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Nathan MacKinnon to make good on his claims of I was better than him in junior and I'm better than him now, though.
Yeah. Two cups makes it hard to kind of back that up, huh?
Yeah, two cups later and that statement doesn't hold up as much. I do believe it is true, but, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on what happened at the end there in that fucking Montreal Lightning series, or just the Lightning winning it all?
My thoughts are that I didn't watch a single game after the Avs got knocked out and didn't give a fuck about any of it and still don't. I'm ready for next season to start.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
So, you know, the end of the SpongeBob movie where Plankton is, saying, you know, that he's won, and he asks how he won, and then SpongeBob says, because you cheated? That's how I feel.
Damn.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
I was going to say that, I only watched two games of that series and truly didn't give a fuck.
I heard everything after the second round was dog shit. Really boring hockey.
Hmm.
So I didn't feel too bad about missing it.
Yeah, the Montreal, Vegas series was dog shit.
I would say that Tampa, New York was a decent Tampa, New series, York was, but yeah. Obviously, New York likes to slow it the fuck down, play defensive hockey, make sure that people aren't allowed to do stuff. So,
can't do that when you're getting Brazil'd.
Well, it's just, it's easy to lose interest in, really defensive hockey, but I think it's easy to respect a close and hard-fought game. So, yeah. Aside from that, I agree. Tampa is really good at the offense, pretty good at the defense, and the Habs really only had the defense going for him. And even then,
well, in Florida, that series was okay, well, nothing is going to beat this.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was true.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That series was the best. If you have to go back and watch one series this playoffs, just watch the Tampa Bay versus Florida series, wherein Tampa Bay, the city, takes on all of Florida. And somehow wins. So in that vein, we have to talk about our predictions for the Stanley Cup final, the result, do our final tally for our playoff series. So the Tampa Bay Lightning won in 5 games. Dylan, you said that they were going to do that. You said Tampa in 5, so you get a point.
Woo! Is that 3 now, I think?
2, by my account.
Oh, okay.
Devin, you said Tampa in 6. No points. Indy, you said Tampa in 4. No points.
So funny enough, I wrote down originally Tampa in five, and then I was like, wait a minute, no, they're going to sweep. So I just crossed that off and put a four. I'm fucking angry at myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of wish you'd done that. We'll get into that in a second. Jake, Habs in seven, obviously didn't happen. And then I also said Tampa in five, so I also get a point. So our final, we have Dylan with 2 points, Devin with zero. Close, but no cigar in a lot of the picks that you made this year. Indy with 3, Jake with 4, and me with 2. Now, had Indy actually been able to tie Jake, I would have gone into a tiebreaker round.
It would have been a fight to the death.
It wouldn't have mattered anyways.
I was about to say.
Well,
I win.
I mean, if you were capable of winning the tiebreaker round that I had in mind, which I might do later, so I'm not going to tell you what it is, but if you'd been capable of beating them in that, I would have considered giving you 5 points.
Oh, so I'm assuming probably some hockey trivia.
Oh yeah, it would have been hockey trivia, specifically Avalanche trivia, but...
Well, Indy doesn't know shit. I would have won either way.
Yeah, I could have pulled some shit.
Yeah, he might have. Who knows?
No, I will break your Google beforehand.
This is a Why closed you DDoS-ing, Google bro? Test, okay?
I was about to say, you're saying I would have used Google.
Yeah, you know, Dakota's going to install Pearson Testmaster on our fucking computers before so he can monitor us and make sure we're not cheating.
Exactly. Put
I'm trying
your
to
fucking
win this
notes
quiz,
away.
But the dinosaur keeps showing up. What do I do?
I keep jumping Damn. Over these cactuses, but I'm getting no closer to the answers.
Wikipedia article stays equally far away.
All right, so Jake, you're our inaugural playoff prediction winner.
As I expected the whole time.
The podium is yours. What do you have to say to your adoring fans?
That's right, anime is leaders.
You couldn't have said it better myself.
Congratulations, here's this gold medal.
But I can sure try. At anime as leaders. At anime as leaders.
I would like to actually give a huge shout out to that guy who did skateboarding at the Olympics and then crushed his nuts against a pole on an international stage. Great job.
Funny enough, when you told me that happened, I walked down the living room and I saw the skateboarding thing going on. And I was like, ah, okay. I might be able to see it happen.
And then I actually saw it happen on the replay this morning.
That's
so funny. That poor motherfucker, you could see the people dying inside energy just course through that guy's body. He almost seemed more embarrassed than the assistant general manager of the Montreal Canadiens when asked about their draft pick this year.
You could feel the crowd exhale.
I could feel my balls in my throat.
I was about to say, the crowd exhale. What crowd? There's nobody here.
And not because I was doing some Marilyn Manson shit, I assure you.
Sus. So anyway, let's move on. It's been a busy offseason, lots of stuff happening for the Avalanche specifically, but around the league, it's kind of been nuts. So starting from the Avalanche's perspective, there have been a lot of noticeable moves, trades, re-signings, et cetera, that I think both help and hurt in some ways, depending on like the specific situation. So starting with the Ryan Graves trade, the Avalanche were able to trade away Graves. And I don't think you will find any of us here on this podcast feeling sad about that.
Not only am I happy about it, I got some great jokes in when we were watching Evil Dead.
Exactly.
So, it was a win all around. There were 3 bodies, and Dakota was like, only 2 graves? And I was like, the other one got traded to New Jersey.
Damn.
It was.
That was really good.
I believe that was a Dylan.
You know, the reality is that In the same way you can't see color, I can't see Dylan.
Oh.
Damn.
I see.
So anyways, the Avalanche traded away Ryan Graves to the New Jersey Devils for Mikhail Maltsev and a second.
A lot of people were projecting that a second would be the ceiling of the price for Graves. So okay. For us to get a roster player who is going to be our fourth line center, according to the organization.
Yep.
Seems pretty good to me, especially since we lost
Belly.
Edward Belmar.
Yeah, Belly's not returning.
Damn.
Which we kind of expected.
True.
We were like kind of 50-50 on it, but we were like, if he leaves, I'm not surprised at all. Like, so now we replace Belmar with a younger player with, I mean, watching some of the replays, some of his highlights, the skill's dude there, has right? hands. The skill is there.
Yeah.
The consistency. I mean,
he's not going to be more than bottom six, right? But
yeah. But he doesn't need to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so he could be secret tight. In a similar way to Graves, honestly.
Yeah.
New Jersey Devils fans seem to have thought that he was underutilized for where he could have been.
Sure.
So he could be secret, not like, you know, second line, fucking, you know, going to town, but.
Well, I was about to say, like, I feel like New Jersey might have not done a good job of actually developing him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, there could be something there. At worst, you know, we have a bunch of other, like, bottom six fill-ins to figure out and kind of interchange with a 13th forward if he sucks, but.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. This guy's pucks are going to go through their ankles.
That's a strict upgrade.
No,
I will say to any New Jersey Devils fans that are listening, I saw a lot of Devils fans on Twitter get really, really hyped that they picked up Ryan Graves. I'll say that he is not the sort of player that is going to turn your situation around, but he's not going to be like an active detriment. He's just fine. He's okay. He's not the best. He's okay.
He has a really exceptionally different perception around the league to what he actually is, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I think because he played on our top pair, people are expecting him to be a top pairing defenseman, whereas it was just more that his playstyle complemented who we wanted to play him with.
Yep.
Better. More so than him actually being capable or thriving in that position.
Yeah. Definitely.
But that's fine. I mean, you know, be happy about him. He's a player.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say, like, hey, don't be excited or, like, you're not allowed to be happy that you picked up Ryan Graves. I'm just saying temper your expectations. Otherwise, you'll probably just end up being disappointed unnecessarily.
Yeah, I mean, what I would call him is whelming. But I guess if they're really excited, they might be underwhelmed. But in general, it's like Ryan Graves and JT Compher are on the same level of, like, you exist in a way that is normally non-impactful, except Graves this year specifically had a habit of making an impact in the wrong ways in a lot of situations, like the last game, last minutes of the Stanley Cup playoffs for us.
Yeah,
I was about to say, shooting a puck into somebody's leg and then letting them just walk away.
Letting Mark Stone take control of that puck.
Yep.
Not good. Not good.
Yep.
That is a bold move, Cotton, and did not pay off for him. But, yeah, I mean, later, bitch. Get the fuck off my team.
All right. Also, talking about players that will not be returning for the time being, Matt Calvert retired. We said he should, and he did.
Which I was actually... It wasn't for very long, but reading that news and seeing all people, everyone's like dedication posts from like teammates and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely like, no, I actually feel more than insignificant level of emotion about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I fucking love Matt Calvert. He's one of my favorite non-superstar players, but he needed to prioritize health over hockey. And I think he made the right decision on this one.
Live your best life with your family, my homie.
Yeah.
I'll say no more
if
suicide
your brain
passes.
Intact, please.
Yeah, please, sir. No more suicide passes. You can rest now.
Yeah.
The story AJ really likes to tell about him is I think it was against Detroit, where Calvert was standing next to the bench and players reached over and grabbed him and pulled him into the bench.
Yeah.
And then Bertuzzi started punching him while he was on the bench. After being pulled in.
Yeah.
I was making it very illustrative for the homies, but and then in the locker room after, as blood was running down his face from being punched by Bertuzzi, AJ was like, I'm pissed about that. And Calvert's like, why? I love that shit. Let's go. Fierce. That's why I love hockey. And I'm like, that's Matt Calvert in a story.
the more important thing was he's like, yeah, I love that shit. I fucking speared him right back. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he was like, I speared him. Of course they were going to do that.
He's like, I fucked him up too. Just like, okay, Calvert.
He's like, man, Calvert, I love you, bro. You're so tight.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that one clip when he was on the Blue Jackets. Like, I would need to find it again to remember who it was on. But he just broke his stick on somebody's back when they were down, like full cross check.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the one where he got fucking hit in the face by a slap shot, went off,
and then
got
came
dishes.
Back and scored the game winner. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, dude, come on.
Got like 40 Calvert, stitches. Yeah.
Yeah. Calvert is so tight. Great career. Good shit.
That's
all I have to fucking say. Fuck yeah, Calvert.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, Calvert.
Sucks, but
yep.
Sucks from like wanting to watch him play more because he's fun as hell, but. Live your best life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good shit, amigo. GG's.
Yeah. Enjoy your life, buddy. We will miss you, but you made the right decision.
You looked very pretty in pink.
So also not returning to the roster, because of the expansion draft, my man is now a Seattle Kraken player. Giannis Donskoy.
It's pronounced Kraken. No, you have to say it how that football player said it.
Jonas Donskoy.
Jonas. He said Jonas Donskoy.
Donskoy.
And then
yeah.
he made like this isn't gonna translate because nobody knows what I'm talking about, but the ATP suspect face, like that, like hell yeah, I just killed it face. He did like the lean back, like, yeah, I just did it. I just did exactly what I needed to do. Perfect execution.
Donskoy.
Yeah, Jonas Donskoy, no longer a member of the Colorado Avalanche.
I didn't watch any of that expansion draft stuff because the entire list leaked like 10 hours before the actual draft.
I did not watch it. I watched Piss Bush's video. and he showed the clip.
That's a great nickname for that man.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say about Donskoy.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was a good player. He overperformed this year to a pretty significant degree.
Mm-hmm. Luckiest man on earth.
For us, for most of his time here, he was a bottom six, like a middle six player playing in the top six.
Yep.
Which hindered us in some ways, I felt.
Sure.
Seems like a good guy, good player. I like his accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just is what it is. Oh, real quick, back to Graves.
Okay.
Somebody, Graves got traded, posted the clip of Miko saying, that's enough, Lauren, Graves has to go now.
Yeah.
It's like, sad face. And I was like, oh my god. Yeah.
Looks like it really is time to leave. Sad face is like one of the ones that I saw going around too.
Feels so bad. Not really. Get off my team. But yeah, Donskoy. Good shit. Enjoy the Kraken.
Yep.
I don't think you're gonna have a lot of fun there, but you know, we could talk about that later.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. They might be fun if they fix their roster.
We'll get into it, but they definitely have an opportunity to change up what they've got going on right now. So there are still some outstanding free agents that we don't know about. Like, their status is a little bit up in the air. We don't have a deal in place for Grubauer, which is concerning. We don't have a deal in place for Jost, which I assume will get done sooner rather than later. The Landy contract is drama that we'll get to in a second, but they were able to secure Cale Makar's services for the next 6 years at $9 million a year. The old 6x9, a nice contract for my boy.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, nice. That's good. That's cheaper than you probably could have made the argument for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than Haskinen. Some people were thinking Jones would affect Makar's contract, but...
Oh, thank God it didn't.
Well, RFA, UFA, et cetera, et cetera. But Haskinen was the closest, and Makar is better than Haskinen as much as Dallas fans want to say otherwise. So, fuck yeah.
Yep. He gets 6 years instead of 8, which kind of allows him to bridge past this flat cap shit, right?
Yeah.
So we get a little, we get a good chunk of time with him. And he gets to get another contract once the league figures its finances out. So
could either present a lot of problems for us in 6 years, or it could be fine because the cap has skyrocketed. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Good for my man.
He said it was quick, painless. It was like one or two phone calls and it was done. Like no strife at all.
Yeah.
In stark contrast to some other things. I will say, before we get to those other things, an unreliable source, Adrian Dater on Twitter, said that Grubauer and Avalanche contract discussions have been picking up steam in the days after expansion.
Okay.
But that there's not quite traction there yet to the point where you'd think anything would be done soon.
All right. Yeah, I really think they need to focus on Grubauer.
I was about to say, like, that's better than hearing that there's absolutely no talk still going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big thing for me, somebody was trying to say, and I guess this is going to bridge right into Landy. Landeskog is having issues with contracts with the Avs. But somebody was complaining because we haven't heard anything in a few days, right? About Landeskog's contract.
Yeah.
Whereas before we were getting daily information. And he was like, hopefully they're not at a deadlock. Hopefully they're not just never talking. Like, hopefully this isn't over. But I would say maybe they're having some sort of common ground being found because it was his agent fucking leaking everything to the media. Right?
Yeah.
So if his agent's happy, he wouldn't have any reason to do that. So it's either really bad or really good is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So either
sign a contract or he won't smile.
Yeah. So either there's no chance the contract is going to get done and the agent is done being trying to put their feet to the fire to get it done, or they're close.
Yeah. Basically anything on the spectrum between it happening and it not is possible at the current moment.
Exactly.
That's the hard hitting reporting you come here for.
Nothing to answer.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the specifics of the Landeskog situation. I'm a little floored by it, if I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Blown away.
I was under the impression that this was going to be a slam dunk. I thought it would be simple and easy. I thought that there would be some negotiating for sure because, you know, why not? But I was of the opinion that Landeskog is a person that really wants to stay in Colorado. He's a leader in the locker room. He leads by example. Some of his teammates have already expressed the desire to take less money in order to make some cap room for the team to succeed. I thought Landeskog would be right there with them, but from all the reporting coming out around the numbers and the term that they've offered Landeskog during this negotiation, it seems like he's really, really going hard on trying to maximize his value as much as he possibly can.
Well, so, okay, I have a couple thoughts, as I usually do. I think that it's crazy that it was reported in during the bubble that they were close, like almost on close.
Yeah.
To an extension in Edmonton, they were talking. And this was reported by DNVR, everyone. Very clearly, that didn't finish, and now we're in a weird spot, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think that a lot of the higher numbers we saw, if I'm going to be honest, were agent posturing.
Okay.
The classic ask for too much and then take what you actually want later in a negotiation.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think he actually thought that 9 to 10 million was reasonable.
I agree.
And I think it was a lot of media manipulation from the agent. I even think releasing that Landeskog quote
down in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, Landeskog.
Landeskog through the aisles.
I actually think that my ass forgot what I was going to say because of that.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I think the quote from him in The Athletic was also the agent being like, yo, Peter, go ahead and release this.
Okay.
If I'm going to be honest. I think this has all been like a pretty hefty posturing from Landeskog's camp. And I do think Landeskog's feelings are hurt, but that it's not like, you know, done, run one and done, like that he didn't get fair value. That $5 million 8-year contract that was reported early, like I can see why he might be like, what the fuck?
Sure. Yeah. Because he'd be losing money there. Yeah.
Which it's a flat cap and he's not magically better than, you know, he was when he originally signed, right? Like he is better. He's had some of his best years, but flat cap, take less for the team. Like all the whole narrative, right? All the situationals.
Yeah.
But I mean, the talk is that he wants, like, he turned down a 7x7, and then the talk after that was that they're in the 5.5 to 6.5 range, 5 to 6, 5 to 7 range, that whole thing. They were just, the Avs wanted 4 years and he wanted 6, and that's the only sticking point that is left in the contract, right?
Just the term.
But you offer him a 6-point, like you offer him a 6x6 under those parameters, and it's good for both sides.
Yeah.
Provided
they're willing to accept that contract, I think it's good for the organization, right?
Well, yeah, but so like the point is that if they offered him a 7x7 and he said no, and then he accepts a 6x6, like that is the worst. That is so annoying.
Yeah.
That is nothing with him being butthurt and then taking less than the, like he could have gotten a better deal if he wasn't being a bitch about it.
Yeah.
You know, I do think he's trying to, like, I don't even necessarily think he's trying to maximize his value as much as he had his feelings hurt. And like, it kind of seems like he's, you know, trying to, get that point across, make him sweat a little bit, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
That's what it feels. That's what it feels like from my end. Right. But that's a fan being like, I mean, I'm not even sitting here butthurt at Landeskog. Live your life, man. But
yeah. If he went and somebody did want to give him $9 million, I couldn't be mad at Landeskog for saying yes, right?
I'd be fine with Landeskog saying yes. I'd be happy that Joe didn't say yes to that.
Yeah.
And I would be sad that Landy's gone, but like,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy. It's really annoying. Now that Kale's contract signed and somebody can't offer sheet him $12.5 million and then retire hands, you know,
yeah, that's nice.
Maybe they figured it out.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. I really do.
I don't think you pay too much for Landy. I don't think you can overpay him too much. You can overpay him a bit. He's your captain. There's a lot there, but
yeah. Beyond just a performance, there's like intangibles. There's the fact that he's the captain. He's been there through thick and thin during the worst of times for your organization. I'm fine with kicking him some extra money. I really am. I just don't think
that... You know the story?
Sorry, what's up?
Do you know the story from the cursed season?
Yeah, the Joe wanted to trade him, and he said, no, don't trade me. I'm staying. I want to be part of the solution. I want to turn this team around. We were the worst in the league by a fucking mile for over the last, like, 20 years of all the teams that have ever existed, and that's just not fucking acceptable. Now that Duchesne is gone, like, this can be my room. I can figure out what I want to do. We can get a new culture in here. And by God, they fucking did it. He not only did he say that he wanted to do it, he fucking did it. He did it.
Well, and so that's why I feel like this is an emotional thing rather than a value maximization thing, honestly. That's like what that's a large part of what I base what I was saying earlier on off of. Like, I think he is trying to get fair value for himself.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, he had his feelings hurt because all of the things I've ever heard about Landis Cog are, and like, antithetical to anything that's happening right now, you know?
Exactly. That's why I'm so confused, honestly. But I guess, like, if it's just him, like, if it's him trying to force the Avalanche to, like, experience the you don't know what you got till it's gone, I think that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But up to this point, I've been kind of perplexed, honestly.
Well, and a bunch of people who were trying to say that stupid fucking, like, they're playing 4D chess, exposing him with the expansion draft, which they did and we didn't mention.
Yeah.
You know, no. And now that he's still not signed, it's like, very clearly, see, no. But you're always going to have people now that are going to be like, Joe did it again, 4D chess. And I don't think that's what's happening at all.
Sure. I think that makes a lot of sense. Boys, your thoughts on Gabriel Landeskog and him potentially not being on the team?
That fucking sucks. I don't want him to be gone.
Yeah, it's potentially upsetting, but do what you gotta do, I guess.
I mean, good fucking dude.
Yeah, I mean, on the ice, he is replacement. You know, like, he can be replaced easily. You know, we can make a trade, free agency, whatever. Like, we can do that. You probably saw it into that same spot, and he probably, like, produces similarly, I'd say. But, captain, man.
Yep.
I was about to say, the whole captain and locker room situation then would concern me, and that's the only part of it that actually kind of scares me.
Yeah. I mean, like, up until Nico Hischier, he was the youngest captain in the history of the league, right?
I thought, yeah. McDavid took that.
Did McDavid actually
McDavid
take
took
it?
It, yeah.
Oh, that's
McDavid,
right.
Took
right,
it by
right.
A few months.
I forgot about McDavid.
No, McDavid took it by, like, a matter of days, I think.
Was it days? That might be it.
It could be days, but that could be a romanization. It could be fucking...
I thought I heard it was, like, a month or so.
Could even be weeks, right? Like, it was it was a metric of time less than a year. Anything from an hour to 11 months and, you know, one day less than a year. Smile. But yeah, youngest captain in the league.
It was 51 days.
51 days. Okay.
Oh wait, hold on. I'm fucking wrong. Never mind. 4 years and 51 days. So by a lot.
The difference in. Oh, so does Hischier actually have that record now, then?
Well, I don't...
No.
Actually, I'm not seeing Hischier on the list right now, but...
No, youngest captain as in age.
Yeah.
Like, McDavid is...
He was 20. He was 20 when he was named captain, and Landeskog was 24.
What?
No.
No.
Oh, sorry. You know what? Fuck this article I'm looking at. Fuck it. Sorry, they're using current age instead of the age they were named. But it was 19 years old for Landeskog, 286 days. McDavid was 19 years, 266 days. So like 20 days. By 20 days.
Yeah, it's 20 days. I Googled McDavid youngest captain, and it said, McDavid's the youngest captain, beating Landeskog by 20 days.
Yeah.
And
so Nico's well over 19 at this point. My entire thought was fucked at that point.
My brain has turned to fuck.
Exactly.
Point being, I mean, people are saying Landeskog was going to be captain when he got minor league drafted, like, or junior drafted. Like, he always has had that, like, reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like this is uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
And emotions are the only thing that makes sense to me, but who knows?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, definitely. So yeah, let's
I will say I'm totally cutting in again. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Dater made that tweet before this, like right as the season ended, before any of this happened, where he was like, the Avs are, he said something along the lines of, the Avs are unhappy with whatever possible culture in the room led to multiple second round exits in a row, and view it as a problem that needs to be fixed, or something along those lines. Like, not saying they want Landeskog gone, but saying, you know, what the fuck? The team is like, what the fuck? And it's Dater, so you never know. But the fact that all this is happening has had me kind of be like, well, they're definitely not bending over backwards to make it work. So
yeah,
maybe there is some credence to some people in the organization feeling that he maybe didn't step up when he needed to. But
sure,
you know, it was something that I wrote off at the time, and something that since then, while this has all been going on, I've been like, yes, maybe. I haven't heard anyone else say it, but you know.
Yeah. I think that also makes sense based on what's happened. So moving on to the Seattle Kraken real quick. They're a team now. They have players.
They are in fact a team. And has players on it.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
They have players, quote unquote.
Specifically, they were able to get like decent defensemen from the expansion draft, so their blue line is pretty damn good. They've got some decent goaltending, and they have a ham sandwich for forward. Their forwards are awful.
Well, yeah, Yanni Gourde is their best center, and he just got surgery, and he's out for 4 months. So
I was about to say he's not gonna be in the game opener.
Eberle's good.
Yeah, Eberle is good. He's a top six guy for sure, I would say.
Yeah.
He's in the right spot there, probably, and he's their only good forward.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say only. Well, so, okay, this expansion draft was hilarious because the whole time no moves were being made, but they strung us along saying that we would find out the moves at a later time.
Yeah.
And I think they moved it between 4 and 6 different times, and we're supposed to say them at a bunch of different events like broadcasts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And kept not talking about moves. And all the media was like, there's a bunch of moves, you just gotta wait, like blah, blah, blah. I'm hearing there's a ton. And there was one at the, after all was said and done, there was one move they made.
Yeah.
And it was not like, it was trading a guy away for a second round pick.
Yeah.
They signed a couple of decent people. Yarncroak, whatever. He's good. Or was it Alexiak? It was Alexiak. I always get them mixed up. Do they have both of them? I don't have the roster in front of me.
They have Yarncroak, and I think they also signed Alexiak. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have both. They have Jamie Alexiak, and they've got Cali Yarncroak.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how to say his name. The Avs really wanted Alexiak, apparently.
Yeah.
We're in hard on him.
He signed as a free agent, right? Or was he expansion drafted?
I'm not sure. I think he was grabbed. But who knows? There was so much shit happening, and though it was a lot of Avs stuff, too, so I just sort of was like the final roster. But yeah. I think maybe they grabbed his rights and the expansion draft.
Maybe
what is happening. Speaking of the Avs real quick, they apparently want Suter really hard. The Blues were just announced to be out of that because he wants 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if I want the Avs to give him 4 years, honestly, but... because he's 36 years old.
Yeah, they grabbed his rights from the Stars.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the Avs really wanted him, so Suter's an option now. He wants 4 years. That seems bad.
Yeah, probably.
Almost as bad as the forward core in Seattle.
Well, because like the forward core in Seattle is just like Eberle and a bunch of middle six players. Like Donskoy is good, but he's a middle six player. Like we had that conversation, right?
Yanni Gourde has never had the chance to elevate his game because of the stacked team he's been on. So the thought is that maybe he can step up and not be like an elite or even great first line player, but that he can get them by.
Yeah. They got the second overall draft pick. They got a center there, but he's not going to be able to come in and be like a top two center for them. He'll like start lower, right? So like I think their depth is fine. It's the top end, and maybe Gord is able to elevate that game, like you said, but
yeah,
you don't know till it happens.
Yeah. You have no idea. It's so wild though. Because they took a bunch of the non-consensus picks. I'm not even saying the like gambles like you, like a Tarasenko or something.
Yeah.
But they took a bunch of non-consensus picks from teams. And the idea was that they had deals in place to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they just took them.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. It's weird. They have like $40 million in cap space. So like, wow. But
so
I was about to say, I'm surprised they didn't just have a few YOLOs.
Free agency is on the 28th. So we'll see.
Yeah. So what do you mean by deals in place to take the non-consensus picks for the homies real quick? Because there's a little bit there that maybe doesn't come through just by saying that.
So on a lot of these teams, especially some of the more middling teams, or, you know, the good teams, there are obvious picks in the expansion draft. Like, if we still had Graves, it would be Comfer, Donskoy, and Graves is the, like, obvious you take these.
Mm-hmm.
And so Seattle went outside of the consensus picks, which is consensus among media and shit. So like, it's not consensus for anyone that matters, but you know, it is like it is baseline of player quality understanding. And so when Vegas was coming into the league, they took a bunch of non-consensus picks, but took a ton of players and picks from teams to not take the consensus players. So in some instances, it was like a good player in a second to not take somebody. And that is how Vegas became so good so fast. So the thought was that teams would learn from Vegas and not do that with Seattle. And then Seattle was taking a bunch of bullshit. So we thought maybe it was happening again, and then it didn't. And they just took bullshit.
Thing is, Florida gave Vegas two really good fucking players.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason. I mean,
Minnesota did too, like, there was a lot of good stuff, but the issue ends up being that, you know, when you're an expansion draft team, you have the most leverage on every team in the league. That is your most leverage point to get assets. And there were offers for them to take people like Tarasenko and then trade them right away for picks and stuff. And they didn't even do that. So I don't know, man, it's weird. I know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to try and swing hard in free agency or if they're going to try and make trade later or what, but making trades later, they have a lot less leverage than they did a week ago when they were the only team who could do anything and were taking things from people. But that's what I mean by non-consensus picks. They just prioritize cap space, I guess.
So I think that what they might end up wanting to do is trade, because they've got a lot of good defensemen, I would say. Maybe not like, you know, super duper top pairing defensemen, but a lot of like top four pairing sorts of players, right?
It is quite the top six by virtue of you protect less good, like you protect less defensemen.
Yeah.
And thus more good defensemen are available.
Exactly.
So their defense is naturally better.
So it is possible that they trade away some of those defensemen because, like, they're not going to be able to play them all, right? So, like, on their team, they have Vince Dunn, they've got Hayden Fleury, Mark Giordano, Adam Larson, Curtis McDermott, Jamie Oleksiak, and Carson Soucy. Like, just, you know, some of those guys aren't spectacular, but they're perfectly serviceable, and there are some teams that might be looking for those type of players, right? I think that it would be improbable that they move on from Oleksiak specifically unless somebody were to offer them something like really good for him.
I also think it's really unlikely that they move on from Giordano.
Yeah. I think that there aren't going to be too many people that want him.
I don't agree with you. I think that he's going to be their captain, though.
Well, sure. I was about to say, yeah. Like, I heard somebody say, like, oh, maybe they'll flip him. I was like, why the fuck would you fly this guy out here to show off?
Yeah, they had him at the event on stage.
They showed him off with the first home jersey. Sorry, first away jersey, I think? I don't fucking remember. But, like, they showed him off with a fucking jersey on. Like, he's
why would you fly him out for the event to then be like, well, so, we introduced you to our fans later.
So I still don't think that there'd be too many teams that would be... He's really good. He is, but he's also 37 years old. So
well, apparently a ton of people wanted them to sign to grab and trade him. Apparently that was a big target.
Weird.
Yeah.
For the Rangers specifically, I think really, really wanted.
Listen, that's what I do whenever I start an expansion team in Chell. But you know,
you do just grab that man.
He's got high trade value. And as an expansion team, I need forwards.
As it turns out, that rings true in real life as well.
But yeah, I think that it seems like they committed to Alexiak because they signed him out of free agency. Obviously, they want him there. I think that you guys make a lot of sense with Mark Giordano being a big part of the festivities there. I think that he's a great pick for captain. Big veteran presence, really good. Recently won a Defenseman of the Year.
Somebody was like, it was 2 years ago. Somebody was like, on Reddit, was like, I'm going to miss him so much. And then an Oilers fan was like, you won't miss him when he starts blowing up the knees of your players. Mark Giordano at it again, dude.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Giordano. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to levy what they have and turn it into like a consensus first line center sort of deal, right? But I think that they can get...
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, it'd be really expensive. And they'd have to give up, you know, picks. They'd probably have to give up several good players.
Well, and they don't have that many picks because they didn't do even kind of what Vegas did. Like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And, you know... Now they have as much leverage as any other team, but before they had more, they could have really, like, made it work.
Yep.
I'm regurgitating, but, like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because I was so excited, and then they, like, wet-farted out onto the sidewalk, just sort of, like, hey, we're cracking. What's up?
Listen.
Which is funny. A lot of people are saying that the marketing teams and the hirings and all this shit were, like, amazing. And then when the actual, like everything but the on ice product is like awesome.
I was about to say, like, yeah, they did a good job of like promoting this shit, and then it just nope.
Listen, I'm gonna look fucking fire in my Giannis Donskoy Seattle jersey. It'll be sick. Just wait, coming to a fucking street near you, I guess.
Oh, I know how you get a 1C in Seattle.
Sure.
Giannis Donskoy and Yanni Gord do the fusion dance, and then are a 1C.
Oh. I see.
Oh.
You're supposed to say, oh, I won C, I see.
No. Actually, what they have to do is they have to trade for Jack Eichel. Because, you know, Buffalo's really been fucking up their trades of late. They are not good. They're so bad.
If that's what it costs for Sam Reinhart, oh my God. If that's all that was had to pay for Sam Reinhart, I am pissed. I would have loved Sam Reinhart.
I was about to say, I was like, didn't Florida already get him? What was the trade?
Reinhart fucking pulled in way less than Aristo did and is a significantly better player. Given different positions, of course, but fuck.
Reinhart was... Oh, fuck. Damn it. I found Risto and got excited.
As a side note, I'm sure Ristolainen and his frosted tips will be missed.
So it was a first round pick and a prospect.
Yeah, and like it's like a mid low tier prospect.
Oh, yeah. I would be angry too.
Oh, and it was a goalie prospect, Devin Levi. So they obviously don't really need because they're goalies. Their goalie situation's pretty okay.
I forgot that Florida had the fucking two really good goalie prospects.
Well, they lost Dreger in the expansion draft, so it's maybe not like as good as it was before, but they still have Spencer Knight.
Yeah, they had Spencer Knight, and then they had Levi as well, which now they just handed off. But
yeah,
that's why you don't. That's why you don't sign Bob to 10 mil.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just been sitting here trying to figure out what their other goalies are.
Non-existent.
Well, because they were renowned for having amazing depth and future-proofing with Dreger and Levi, and is it somebody? Is there one other? I don't know.
I think they had like a third goalie play like a game or some shit recently. That wasn't Knight. I feel like they had somebody else play as well. But I may also be thinking of Carolina and their old depth that they had until they got rid of it.
Before they traded away.
Oh, Spencer Knight.
Spencer
Knight's the other
Spencer
one.
Spencer Knight, yeah.
Okay, sure. I mean, that's fine then. Spencer Knight is actually the max big one. Devin Levi was also exciting because of WJCs, but
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, cool. Still though, you're, you know, second, third best goalie prospect, and a first rounder for a really exceptional top six player.
Yep.
Feels fucking bad.
Yep. Buffalo bad. Continue to be bad. If I'm Michael, I definitely am trying to get out of there.
Our draft was apparently very bad, so I would have given up a first rounder and a mid-tier prospect from our system to get us a fucking Sam Reinhart.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, man, Buffalo just seems to be trading away their good players to try to get picks and prospects, which is what you should do when you're in Buffalo's position, right?
Risto got a King's Ransom. So much. He ain't even that good.
Yeah, he got a first round, which ended up being the 13th overall. A second for 2 years from now, and defenseman Robert Hag, who was the trade for Rasmus Ristolainen. I guess there was also that there was the three-way trade between the Flyers, the Knights, and the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird.
That feels like 100 years ago. Oh my
right?
God, I forgot about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. So essentially, like, Nolan Patrick is playing for Vegas now, and Cody Glass is playing for Philadelphia. Those were very high profile first round picks for both of their respective teams. Patrick was more anticipated than Glass was, but hasn't quite panned out. And the Predators get a bunch of picks by being the middleman in order to make it work. Weird shit.
I think it's so funny for the Predators.
Flyers got Ellis, right? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, Flyers got Ellis. Glass went to Nash.
Did he actually go to Nashville? Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. He went to Nashville, yeah. not the Flyers. Okay, yeah.
I think it's really funny that the Predators, the Nashville Predators, left $2.8 million supposedly top six forwards available. And Seattle was like, nope.
No.
Admiral Akbar told us it was a trap, so we're avoiding it. Thank you very much. And thusly, Matt Duchene, while exposed, is still a Predator.
Poor bastard.
Oh. I mean, that's why they traded Arvidsson to the Kings, right? They didn't want to lose him for nothing, so they got their value.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't think they're blowing it up, right? I think we had that conversation on the podcast, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I forgot about the expansion draft stuff. I don't think that we talked about that at the time, it being just expansion draft bait stuff.
I don't think we did either.
But that's what it ended up being. And it was just something that I was not thinking about in the moment.
Yeah. I don't really think we need to go move by move. I just am bringing them up as we talk about teams and being like, oh, yeah, that's right. LOL.
Yeah. Arizona's weaponized their cap space. They're
and
like,
Vancouver is weaponized stupidity. Wait.
No, it's more like Arizona sat there. It's like, we still have no draft picks for the next 20 fucking years now. Please give us shit, and we'll take all your shitty contracts.
They're blackholing every bad contract under the sun. They got traded a player, and three fucking picks. A player and three picks. And you know what they gave up? Not one fucking thing. They didn't give anything back. They just got a player and three picks for not one fucking thing because that player's contract was seemingly so bad. They were like, hey, give us this player, their shitty contract, and give us some picks to take it on, and we're good.
I want to talk about the Canucks.
Okay, let's do it.
I want to talk about the Canucks because the Canucks gave away three players to Arizona. Mm-hmm. All of their cap hit would have been gone after this year. Who instead have a dead contract for the next, like, 6 years.
Yes. Yes, the Oliver.
At 8 million. It's like 8.5 million.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor Garland's gone, too. That's the recipient of the helmet headshot.
Yeah.
So now I don't think the Coyotes games are going to be that fun anymore.
No.
I feel like those two were the primary driving forces of that ongoing.
Well, Fisher was thrown like a ragdoll in the bubble, so I guess like he might be the only one still there.
Yeah, because Ronaldo's gone. Like, all those motherfuckers are gone now. So I don't think we're going to have fun Arizona games anymore.
No.
Maybe we'll have fun with the Vancouver games now that Garland's up there and Vancouver is stupid.
I mean, I would have been okay with getting Garland. Yeah. There was some smoke there. Never found the fire, but why would that? They could have practiced and fucking practiced. Helmet tosses.
Yeah, helmet tosses.
Yeah, I mean, good on you, Arizona, I guess. You made Vancouver look fucking stupid, but that's not hard.
Mm-hmm. It's just really funny because Arizona's like, yeah, we have no hopes at actually being a good NHL team. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to trade, money for picks, essentially, so that maybe we'll be good in the future.
Well, and they also were like, usually it's like, we'll get better for after drafting and after our prospects develop, but they didn't have any draft picks. So they're just like, well,
yep.
I guess we're eating shit for a couple years. What a team to be a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Avs' darkest days, I was like, we'll get out of it. But
oh, yeah.
I don't know if I feel so hopeful for Arizona.
I think they're going to be very bad for a very long time if their offseason moves have been any indication.
Next up on Old Takes Exposed.
I forgot to mention that we drafted Kale McCarr's brother in the last round of the draft. That was sick.
Kale McCarr on Twitter seemed excited. And then Devon Taves in response to Kale McCarr also seemed very excited.
Very good.
Wholesome team hominess. Yes. I'm all about it. Taylor McCarr will never see the NHL. That's okay.
He's going to be a 4C. As a joke. Mark my words. 4C Taylor
maybe,
McCarr.
Maybe he gets motivated,
first.
Dude. You just said Taylor Hart.
Taylor McCarr. I was talking to Dakota the other day about it. I was like, I kind of just hope that Kale makes him work his fucking ass off and he just randomly becomes good.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Okay, actually,
you're embarrassing me in front of Nathan McKinnon. Get your shit together. Fuck.
I like the joke going around that McCarr was refusing to sign more than a five by nine, but that they drafted his brother, so he signed the 6x9.
Bro, you're embarrassing me in front of the dog.
The dog.
He walks by, sees Taylor McCarr fuck up some sort of drill, and he just looks astonished. Are you trolling the dog right now?
Well, apparently the first day of training camp, the first day that Nathan McKinnon met Andrei Burakovsky, he was screaming at Burakovsky in practice for fucking some shit up, so.
Yeah.
Just trolling the dog too hard, I guess.
Yeah. Indeed. So the theme of this NHL draft, because the New Jersey Devils have a player called named Jack Hughes. They drafted his younger brother this year as well. So the theme of this year's draft was Brava!
There was one more.
Was there another? Because I know that the Blackhawks picked up Seth Jones's brother and then traded for him.
That is what happened. And then also somebody drafted somebody's son who I don't remember. Bobby Orr. Oh yeah, Bobby Orr's son, Robert Orr, got drafted.
Was that actually, is that actually his son?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I feel like
Bobby Robert Orr.
I feel like his son would be much older than that. Hold on.
Maybe it's his grandson. I don't know. The Twitter jokes were so thick that I maybe could be off base, but you're right that he is a very old person.
I don't think it's his son. I think that his name is Robert Orr, and that's what people were playing off of.
Defenseman to the Hurricane. Not related. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Cousin. Sixth cousin.
Oh, okay. Cousins. Makes sense.
No, that was a joke.
Okay. Doesn't make sense. Cousin. Three times removed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, like, just lots of family themes going on this off this, you know, in between seasons.
I was about to say the Kraken united two brothers as well.
Did they actually? That's funny.
Yeah, the Furries.
So much family action, it looks like the front page of Pornhub.
Damn.
Yikes.
Fuck.
I'm just waiting for the day where the Subans are on the same team.
Buffalo and Arizona are just the stuck porn. So yeah, I mean, so okay, listen. We talked about Seth Jones, Chicago Blackhawks. They traded Duncan Keith for a bunch of stuff and his brother Caleb Jones. And then they were like, hey, Seth Jones, would you like to maybe sign here? And they gave him an 8x9.
I believe it was, yeah, an 8x9.
An 8x9.
They also traded for him and then extended.
Traded for him and then extended. Yeah, that's right.
And they traded like two firsts and a second and some players, I think. Yeah. yeah.
So I have in my notes here, Stan Bowman is incapable of learning from his mistakes.
Smile. Yeah, and also it came out today that there was no market for him because he only wanted to go to Chicago.
Really?
And they still paid that much for him and then extended that much further. So
He only wanted to go to Chicago.
Or like a very small list with Chicago at the top.
Why?
Oh, buddy. What the fuck?
I mean,
what
how
the Seth
could you
Jones?
Say...
Seth Jones is a QAnon supporter. I'm surprised he didn't want to go to Florida play for Coach Q. Smile.
Boo!
Alternatively, Seth Jones is a dumb bitch who likes offensive bullshit and was really excited to go play for the Blackhawks. Smile.
Yeah, he saw that tire fire and was like,
I gotta get me some of that.
The Blackhawks traded two first round picks, a second rounder, used to get Jake Bean after the trade, and Adam Boquist.
It's Boquist.
I said it close enough to breakfast that now I'm
Boquist.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, they paid a shit ton for him, and then paid him a shit ton.
I'm molding over here.
He is worse than Cale Makar. Oh, they signed him for $9.5 million for 8 years.
Yeah.
An 8x9.
He's making significantly more. I mean, obviously RFA, UFE, et cetera, et cetera. But holy shit.
Yep.
Bad.
You don't even need the power of hindsight to know that that contract is bad. You can see it now.
Yep.
It's bad. It's so bad. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Fuck.
A bad team.
What do you think about Seth
contract?
Jones, and Dylan, and Devin?
Bad.
Yeah.
He's okay, but
right.
The contract is bad.
And a bunch of people are trying to defend it now. I've seen a ton of people with massive amounts of attempted copium.
Yeah, how many of them have the Blackhawks logo tattooed on their forearm?
You know, I actually was having the thought just a few minutes ago, but did not say it, that having the Blackhawks tattoo logo tattooed anywhere on you and having all this happen is probably brutal.
Yeah.
Go to the box and feel shame.
You go to box and you feel great shame.
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck. I forgot how much shit happened. Fuck.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. We actually made good time getting through it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At anime as leaders.
Yeah, I don't I don't have a whole lot to say beyond what
Claude Drew and Cam Atkinson traded. I mean, not Claude Drew. Fuck. Jacob Voracek.
They trade Claude Drew. Fuck, what?
Claude Drew for Cam Atkinson, one for one.
I'll have you know that at one point in time, Claude Drew was the best player in hockey.
Yeah, a lot of people tried to tell me he was better than Nathan McKinnon. Lol.
I think you mean Sid the Kid. That's who they were trying to...
No. I've seen it. For McKinnon in recent years.
Oh.
Even.
Oh, I see.
Within like the last two frequently. But I will say that Claude Drew then carried on Jacob Voracek's legacy by shitting on the media immediately after the trade happened.
Yep.
A media member posted, Claude Drew will stay the captain of the Flyers for now. And Claude Drew was like, wow, what a fucking scoop. Great job. Devin or whatever his name was.
Sam.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Good scoop, Sam. Yeah. Voracek, my man, calling out the media. He will be missed. Finally out of Philly to go to a boring city in Columbus. Smile.
To a city where he doesn't actually have to fight the media.
They manufacture boxes there, and that's what they do.
To a city where he could just pass to Line A all the time. That might be okay.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's other stuff that we forgot about because so much happened, but...
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the large gist of the important crap.
Yeah, for the most part, I think we did a good job.
I think specifically that I did a really great job.
No. Yeah.
Killed
the game. Just for that, it's time for the bonus round. Smile.
Oh, bonus shit. Round.
We talking about hitboxes?
Yeah. Name every member of the...
The bonus round. Guilty Gear. Deathmatch.
Name every member of the 1987 Quebec Nordiques.
No.
I could, but I refuse to.
I see.
I know all of them by heart. I was a huge Nordiques fan back in those days.
Yeah, back in 87.
Yeah.
You remember them fondly.
Yep, I do.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's all I got. Does anybody here have anything that they would like to add? Any heartfelt speeches? Any nagging concerns?
I want hockey back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me hockey back.
Not any hockey. Avs hockey.
Yeah. That sounds pretty
cool. I also want Landy to sign a contract. I want Kirby to sign a contract. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of this shit. Hockey time.
It's a decent checklist. Who do we forward this to?
What?
Stan Bowman.
Oh, yeah. Stan Bowman specifically. I'm sure he'll get the job done right without there being any screw-ups.
Once this podcast goes out, the pressure will be so immense, I'll have to do something.
Oh, exactly.
A massive social media sway will make this happen.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So, that's it for the show. Thank you so much for sticking with us this whole time. We really appreciate you guys. If you want to contact the show, you can do so very easily at Twitter. Twitter at GritHockeyCast is where we are at.
Dakota's been very active on that account.
Very. So much stuff has happened. I love that there's been no hockey for me to live tweet during. if you want
lots of good commentary on the trades and signings. And
exactly.
Events of the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Expert analysis.
Yes, which is what you come to us for. if you want to contact me personally, I am on Twitter at KumoDere. That is KUMODERE. Jake, if they want to contact you, where can they do so?
All right, boys, we have to figure out a fun way to make this come out. You want to brainstorm?
What's your name again?
It's Jake.
From State Farm.
That's right, at Jake.
From State Farm.
That's right. That's right, at Jake.
Listen, they changed it to Drake from State Farm. I am absolved of this curse.
They did not.
They did that for one commercial. Time.
Nope, that's permanent now.
Nope. And in fact, Jake from State Farm was making Drake from State Farm his bitch the entire commercial, so I don't think that absolves you of shit.
It is I, the bitch maker.
That's right, on Twitter. At anime as leader.
Contact him on Twitter at the bitch maker.
Yeah.
As leaders.
As leaders. That's right, at anime as leaders. For people who can't follow the thread, it's at anime as leaders. Just follow him there. Solid Saul.
Yeah, you can see me dunk on Leafs fans. And then instantly mute the tweet so I don't have to read it.
The thing is, that's very easy to do. Just remind them that they haven't won anything for 50 fucking years.
Fucking, okay, so the Edmonton Oilers are trying to get a sign and trade done from Toronto for Zach Hyman.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like those plans popped. And Dubas, the GM of the Maple Leafs, was like, we're not going to bend the knee for this. And then I put in a tweet in reply to this article saying, the only thing that Kyle Dubas bends his knee to is the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Triumph face blowing air out of nose. And then.
My favorite is that the muted. One person that replied to you on that, because I took a look at it later, was just like, nah, you're wrong, because there's actually a year under Dubas where they missed the playoffs entirely. You're factually incorrect, so.
Yeah. I just said he bends the knee to the first round. That doesn't mean he has to do it every year, idiot. Wow.
I just thought it was funny. It's like, no, it's actually worse than you think. You're wrong. All right. Thank you so much once again for hanging out with us. The other people do not have social media. There's no way for you to contact them short of finding out where they live.
We do not exist.
I don't want to talk to you.
That's why I'm on a podcast. See? I don't want to talk to you.
It is actually an active mod on wikifeet.org. You can find it there.
It's WikiPits now.
WikiPits was my joke. You cannot take it.
Again, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yep. All right. So we will probably come at you the next time either some sort of substantial news happens. Maybe we get a short one out when the Landeskog deal hits, depending on like what's going on. Not going to commit to that, but it's definitely something that could happen.
We actually plan on releasing little short episodes with nuggets of information called Grit Nuggets. So you can look forward to that.
No, that is not happening. Misinformation. No. Flagged on
Jake
Twitter.
Will be recording Grit Nuggets.
For the most part, I think you won't hear from us in a super meaningful way until the season starts next year.
I feel like depending on free agency, we could be back pretty quickly.
We could be, but I'm not sure.
Between Landy, Gruby, Saad, and whatever trades the Avs are supposed to be making that the media keeps fucking teasing but aren't happening.
Sure.
Some chicken.
But they've been teasing stuff like that in years past and stuff doesn't happen. So we'll see.
I like this. It's been constantly.
Okay. Well, then I will say that it is a tentatively like we will see. It's possible we won't see you. So in the event that we don't, thank you for hanging out with us this season. We do really appreciate it. And if we see you sooner than that, then we'll see you sooner than that. And we still appreciate you all the same.
Thanks.
All right, at Anime's Leaders, bye.
Bye.
Bye.